It's 11 o'clock and news is next.
CBS News. President Ford says he's going ahead Thursday to raise the price of imported oil by $1 a barrel. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president told a Washington audience Wednesday night he'll move to put the new tax on foreign oil in effect starting February 1st. Democratic congressional leaders are trying to block this. More on the president's programs and his battle with Congress from Phil Jones.
President Ford used this platform before an economic and research group meeting in Washington to criticize those in Congress who are attacking his energy and economic proposals.
It seems to me that the Congress, individually or collectively, if they disagree, shouldn't nitpick, shouldn't pick on this part or that part. If they don't agree, they ought to step up with a comprehensive alternative rather than try to move in a backward way.
Also, as the president was for higher business profits, but against continued high government spending, with one important exception, the Defense Department. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off, the sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
President Ford said he does not favor gasoline rationing and would veto such a measure if it gets through Congress. But some lawmakers, including Republican Senator Lowell Weicker of Connecticut, want rationing and are moving to bring it about.
Senator Mansfield and I intend to introduce legislation tomorrow on the floor of the United States Senate, which would call upon the President of the United States to institute within the next 60 days a mandatory fuel conservation policy, in other words, mandatory rationing.
Senator Lowell Weicker of Connecticut. Reports from Phnom Penh say two barges loaded with ammunition managed to get through heavy enemy fire on the Mekong River Thursday morning and reach the approaches to the Cambodian capital. If so, it would mean a partial break in the 26-day enemy siege of Phnom Penh. It's also reported that eight other barges carrying food and supplies were forced by rebel gunfire to turn back about 35 miles from the capital. The Booth newspapers are reporting that a longtime political aide to President Ford is on the government payroll officially as a consultant, but doing preliminary work for the next presidential campaign. The report says the White House employment of the aide, John Stiles, could involve a violation of federal law. Treasury Secretary Simon appeared Wednesday before the House Ways and Means Committee, which opened hearings into President Ford's economic proposals. Simon defended the president's tax cut proposals against those who say it should apply only to low-income taxpayers. Simon said upper-income individuals are just as adversely affected by inflation as lower-income people. Washington police estimate that up to 25,000 people rallied on the steps of the Capitol Wednesday to demand a constitutional amendment outlawing abortion. Some of them carried signs reading, "Kill inflation, not babies." Senator James Buckley, Republican of New York, told the crowd that on Thursday he will introduce a proposed constitutional amendment banning abortion. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled "To the Author in Search of a Publisher." It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
In New York Wednesday night, Chairman Rick Garrett of the Securities and Exchange Commission said his agency plans to go ahead with its decision to outlaw fixed commission rates for stockbrokers. Garrett indicated no change will be made in plans to implement this after May 1st. The stock exchanges have protested the decision, saying that outlawing fixed commission rates could spell economic doom for some firms. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Witnesses at a legislative hearing today all testified in favor of a bill which would compensate the victims of violent crime in Oregon. Proponents argue that the state spends millions on those who commit the crimes, but does little for the victims. That measure is under consideration by the House Judiciary Committee. A service station dealer who would have to get approval from the Oregon Public Utility Commissioner before raising gasoline prices under a bill introduced today by State Senator Vern Cook. Cook says corporations which supply gas and fuel oil would gouge the consumer for all they can get unless they're inhibited by law. A spokesman for the Portland area's TriMet bus system has asked the legislature for authority to levy a tax of up to $15 on all motor vehicles in its area. The tax would raise millions for the publicly operated bus system. Some Clatsop County residents are organizing a bus caravan to take as many as 1,000 to Portland on February 7th when the State Environmental Quality Commission holds a hearing on tighter air pollution standards for the Warrenton area. The restrictions could force the AMAX Aluminum Company to move its proposed $300 million aluminum plant away from the Astoria-Warrenton area, and the group doesn't want that to happen. 97 Sports, in a game heard earlier this evening on KOIN, Bill Walton scored 25 points in a losing effort tonight as the Portland Trailblazers went down to defeat at the hands of the Detroit Pistons in the Motor City tonight, 96-94. Only two other games on schedule tonight in the NBA. In those contests, Boston over New Orleans won 110-102, and Washington beat Kansas City Omaha 97-88. Next Trailblazer action comes Friday night at Portland's Memorial Coliseum as the Blazers host the Philadelphia 76ers. Airtime on KOIN 740 with the Lenny Wilkins Show. Game time at 8 o'clock as Bill Shanley calls the play-by-play. Mostly cloudy through tomorrow with a chance of a few showers tonight and tomorrow, an increasing chance of rain then on Friday. Lows at night near 42, highs between 50 and 55 degrees, winds out of the east to southeast, and the chance of rainfall 30% tonight and tomorrow, 60% tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 46 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
KOIN.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Someone once said that we are what we eat, a statement I'd not dispute, but I think we might go a step further and say, at least with equal accuracy, that we are what we think. Curiously, though, our thoughts shape our lives, our very destinies. Most of us, as any psychiatrist will tell you, are motivated by thoughts so deep within our psyches that we're really not aware of them at all. In point of which, consider the strange case of Anton Stern.
But Anton, please, Jonathan is dead. Our son died more than 6 months ago.
Ella, why do you do this to me? Why are you trying to break my heart?
Oh, my darling, break your heart. I'm trying to put the pieces back together again.
By lying to me? By telling me that Jonathan is back and... But... He's playing now. His studio. Playing.
Anton, I hear nothing.
In the studio. Practicing. It's Jonathan, I tell you. Come, Stella. Come and see for yourself. Our son is alive.
Our mystery drama, Concerto in Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Marion Seldes and Ian Martin. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and imported Vigna Rosé wine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Here is an important message from Buick. Buick wants you to know that a cash rebate of $500 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a new Buick Skyhawk by Friday, February 28, 1975. And a rebate of $200 will be given to those of you who take delivery of a Buick Skylark or Apollo by February 28th. Buick's cash rebate program is just one of many reasons for buying a free-spirited 1975 Skyhawk, Skylark, or Apollo. So see your Buick dealer.
There's a kind of chemical warfare going on. In this war, cancer is the enemy. Our weapon is chemotherapy. Today, the anti-cancer drugs of chemotherapy enable thousands of patients to lead active lives despite cancer. More people can be helped. To keep the research going, send a check today to the Chemo, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
In God we trust. America speaks.
Abraham Lincoln's creed. I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
This is the strange story of what befell Anton Stern only a few years ago. A story few people know. Yes, I am talking about the celebrated conductor of the City Symphony. To begin this curious tale, I'll ask you to join me in the Stern's duplex apartment on Park Avenue in New York City. It is late afternoon of an overcast autumn day. In the gracious living room, we find Stella, Anton's lovely wife, and his equally attractive daughter, Rebecca.
Oh, Mother, stop pacing up and down. You'll be worn out by the time Father gets here.
Oh, I can't help myself, Becky. I haven't seen him in 2 months.
You should have gone on tour with him. Or at least spent some time with him in one city or another.
I would have you know that if Dr. Edmonds hadn't advised against it.
Well, I'll never understand why. Granted, Edmonds is one of the best psychiatrists in the country. But still,
he felt that my presence during the tour might be too much of a reminder of Jonathan's death. Well, you know as well as I that the tour was largely arranged as therapy.
I never realized what mental depression could do to a person till Jonathan collapsed and died while recording the Paganini First Violin Concerto.
Your father conducting.
Oh, what a terrible shock. To see your son, only 20 years old, drop dead before your eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. I brought it all back to you.
It's all right, Becky, dear. I expected Jonathan's death sooner or later. I was prepared for it. Your father wasn't.
But he knew of Jonathan's condition. His congenital heart condition.
But he never believed.
It frightened me. The way he kept insisting that Jonathan was alive. Imagined he heard him practicing in his studio upstairs.
Well, thanks to Dr. Edmonds, he recovered. And 2 months on tour has brought full recovery.
They're here. I'll answer the door, Olga. Becky, how do I look?
Beautiful.
Only don't look worried, Mother.
Oh.
Yes. Anton.
Stella.
Oh, Anton.
Stella, my darling.
I
missed you so.
I did.
I too. Oh, I've missed you, and it's good to be home, Stella. It's good to be home. Oh, Rebecca.
Welcome home, Father.
Oh, thank you. It's good to see you, my dear. You were kept in practice while I was away?
Oh, yes. If I practiced any more, I'd have worn out the keyboard and the violin.
The violin? Why waste your time? How many times have I told you why waste your time on the fiddle when your brother's a prodigy? You stick to the piano and leave the violin to your gifted brother. Believe me, you... What is it? Why are you all looking at me?
Well, you said... Well, you talk as if Jonathan...
Well, where is he? Why isn't he here to greet me?
McNally, I thought you said, when we talked on the phone, you said...
I know what I said, and I know what I'm hearing.
What?
Anton.
Where is he, that son of mine? Where is he? Oh, of course. In his studio. Always in his studio. Jonathan, I'm home. Your father's home.
McNally... You said he was all right.
He was. Heaven help us till we came through that door. He was.
Anton?
Yes, come in, Stella. All of you, come in.
Are you all right, Anton?
What, it's all right, Nah. To know that my only son is dead, that's all right?
You do know, then?
Oh, yes. But for an instant there, a few moments, I was sure I heard him practice. Just as he used to. And I rushed up here to the studio only to find... emptiness. But then again, I knew he's dead. Dead.
Do you want us to call Dr. Edmund?
I'm all right. I'm recovered. As fully recovered as anyone can be after the death. His only son. You understand that?
Your only son? Yes, I understand.
What happened just now is just one of those things. Coming home after 2 months away, it got to me, that's all.
How about a drink, Anton? It's been a long time and day for you. The plane trip from Seattle. And...
Yes. A drink would be good. Let's all go down and have one.
Come along then, dear.
Stradivarius. Jonathan Stradivarius. Who moved it? Who? Oh, don't just stare at me, all of you. The case, I placed it here on the table just so, with a bowl of flowers there and his photograph there, and it's been moved. Who's been touching this case, touching Jonathan's violin?
Well, I didn't know that you...
Wanted it untouched. But I said so. I made it clear. No other hand was ever to touch the Strad. You...
Father, I didn't know.
You didn't?
Father, it's got to be kept in condition. It's a priceless Stradivarius. It's got to be played.
And you
so that...
played it. You played Jonathan's violin.
Anton.
It was never to be touched. I said that. I made it clear, never to be touched.
But Becky is your daughter, Jonathan's sister.
She's not Jonathan.
No. But I love you too, Father. Every bit as much as Jonathan did.
I love you, Rebecca, but I... Never touch this again, please. It was his. It's all I have left to remember him. It's sacred to me. Promise me you'll never touch it again.
I promise.
More wine, Mac?
Thanks, Anton, of course. It goes well with the beef. Olga is still the finest cook in the world. She certainly hasn't lost her touch while we've been away, Stella.
No. And so long as she keeps her touch, I must be careful to keep hers. You'd be astounded, McNally, at how many of our friends offer her more money
to leave us for them.
Well, competition is competition. We'll ask Vladimir Oblensky, thanks to it.
The man who replaced Jonathan.
You... Blast the thought of my hand. That was clumsy of me.
No, of me. I'm sorry.
Because you mentioned Jonathan? Nonsense. I tell you, I'm perfectly recovered.
Yes, Father.
We did lose Oblensky, as Max says. He was not the finest concertmaster we ever had. Jonathan was that. No one can ever take his place, but Oblensky was good. Very good, very good. He left us in Seattle. Tomorrow I must try out another woman, Saskia, what's her name again?
Rubens. Better than Oblensky, ask me.
Not as good as Jonathan. No one can ever, will ever replace him in the orchestra. Or in my heart.
Speaking of Jonathan, Anton, Bakewell has asked me to talk to you again about releasing the Paganini First Violin Concerto.
You know my answer.
Oh, but, Anton, it was, if not the finest, certainly one of the finest things that Jonathan ever did.
And it killed him.
Anton, you can't say...
I can and I do, Stella. As for you, Mac, it was without doubt the finest thing he ever did. You know why? Because he wanted it to be. He practiced and practiced and practiced until I warned him he would kill himself if he didn't stop. His heart. I knew his heart wouldn't take it.
But the heart attack, it could have struck at any time, anywhere.
Oh, he was determined, my son, Mac, determined to play it to perfection. Perfection! And he did. Because of it, he died in front of my very eyes.
Oh, Father.
Leave me alone.
But, Father...
Rebecca! I'm sorry.
Anton, she loves you as much as Jonathan did, perhaps even more.
More? Impossible. No one ever loved me as much as Jonathan.
But perhaps you never gave anyone else, gave Becky the chance.
Oh, why are you badgering me like this?
Anton, where are you going?
To the studio. And please, leave me alone there.
I'm sorry, Stella.
It's not your fault. You know how it's always been. With Anton, the sun rose and set on Jonathan. Becky, she was always second in his affections.
And now, with Jonathan gone, she wants to be first.
No, I don't think that. I think, I don't know, a young girl yearning for, reaching out for her father's love, that's all. She loves him. She wants him to love her, that's all.
Is it all?
What do you mean?
Jonathan is gone, Stella. But you know as well as I, he still stands between Becky and her father.
She's very pretty, Mac.
What, Becky? Oh, Saskia. Yes. And let's hope she plays as good as she looks.
Maybe we ought to move to one of the back rows.
Why now?
I can see she's nervous. You know, a tryout. I'm sitting here. Maybe she just...
Oh, forget it. Saskia Rubens is a pro. You know, pros have nerves.
All right, gentlemen, let's get on with it. Are you, ready, Miss Rubens?
Yes, Maestro.
Now, we can take any moment you wish.
Well, it doesn't matter to me, Maestro. Whatever you want.
Huh? I see. You're very confident.
Oh, why shouldn't I be? I wouldn't be here for a tryout if I wasn't good.
Oh. Well, we'll try the first movement after the introduction. Miss Rubens, perhaps you'd rather try the rondo.
Well, what was wrong?
You ask me what was wrong. You don't know?
No, I don't.
You don't know. You're playing notes, not heart. That's what's wrong. Notes without heart.
You might as well tear up the music.
We'll try it again.
This time with expression, Miss Rubens.
Very well. Here we go.
What now?
I don't know.
Miss Rubens. That fingering.
Yes, Maestro.
Where did you get it from?
Get it from? I don't know. I suppose I've always used that fingering.
You copied it.
I beg your pardon.
You heard my son on a recording in which he used that fingering.
Well, of course I've heard your son. I've heard every recording he ever made, but I've never copied.
Well, unconsciously, perhaps unconsciously.
Maestro, I have never copied anyone, including your son.
Ah. Well, then again, we'll try it again.
I think you're right. But if you are, Becky, what does this mean?
I don't know what it means, Mac. I wish I did.
Saskia Rubens using the same fingering as Jonathan Stern? Is it a coincidence? Or is some arcane force at work? Even Rebecca Stern is confused and unable to say what is taking place. Well, perhaps matters will be clarified when I return shortly for Act Two.
This mystery is really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me. Just sitting here by the radio
with Vina Rose Wall.
May this Vina Rose delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all alone by the radio. Vina Rose wine, Vina Rose wine. Come let me pour you some more Vina.
At the slightest of value, if you know what I mean. Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vina Rose wine.
That's the answer, Vina Rose wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine.
Imported by Hugh Blind, Hartford, Connecticut.
Lots of people are coming in, playing it smart to get a head start, investing time to build the future. It's such a good place to begin, a room to grow, a getting to know just where you want to be. Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrow today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way, long, long way.
If you want to do something positive for yourself and your country, take your place with us. Join the people who've joined the Army.
Join the people who've joined.
For more information, call 800-523-5000, toll free.
When Jonathan Stern, child prodigy, and at 20, solo violinist of the city symphony under his father Anton, died suddenly, Anton fell into a deep depression. Recovered, or so it seemed, he took the symphony on a 2-month tour, from which he returned a few days ago. City Concert Hall, as Anton tries out a new solo violinist, Saskia Rubens, something strange. seems to be happening.
Is this some kind of joke, Miss Rubin? Some kind of grisly joke?
I don't know what you mean, Master.
No one has ever fingered that passage, played it the way you are, except my son, my dead son.
I've told you, I don't know anything about that. If I am using his fingering, it's an accident, a coincidence.
Accident? Coincidence? Mac!
Yes, Anto.
You heard, is she using Jonathan's fingering or not?
Well, she seems to be, yes.
But Father...
And Mac... Mac, has anyone but Jonathan ever used that fingering?
That's it, I know.
Father!
If this was an accident, Miss Rubens, it's the kind of accident I won't stomach. And I warn you not to repeat it.
You needn't worry about that, Maestro. I won't be here to repeat it.
That's fine with me. You can get out.
Father, will you listen to me?
What, Rebecca, what?
You've forgotten something. Jonathan was the only one who ever used that fingering, because no one else ever could, until now.
Yes, you're right. Only a prodigy, a genius like Jonathan could... How could I forget?
Well, you were shocked and upset.
But she, Reuben, she...
As I said, it's just an accident,
no,
a coincidence.
No, Rebecca, not that at all. Don't you see, daughter? Don't you see?
Well, of course. By the greatest good fortune, you found someone else to replace Jonathan as a soloist.
Replacement? She's no replacement. She is Jonathan.
What do you mean?
Yes, what do you mean?
Oh, why, he's returned. His spirit. That wasn't Saskia Rubin's playing. That was Jonathan. And the fingering. Her hand, but Jonathan's spirit in that hand.
Oh, and
why, don't you
listen.
See? Don't you see? It was Jonathan's way of telling me he's returned. Mac, get her, Rubens, get her back for me.
Oh, now, the way she stormed out, I'm not sure I can.
You can, you will, Mac. You must.
Well, Becky, good to see you again. Sit down. Cigarette?
Thank you, Dr. Edmund. Thank you.
I read about your father's triumphant tour, I suppose it's called. Nothing but praise and acclaim for the orchestra and him. How is he? Did the tour turn out to be the therapy I felt sure it would be?
Well, that's why I'm here. I need your help for me as well as my father.
Something went wrong?
Well, when he arrived home nearly a week ago now, he thought... Well, it only lasted a few minutes... He thought Jonathan was still alive, that he could hear him practicing in the studio.
Hmm.
Well, of course, when he went to the studio and Jonathan wasn't there, he realized it was just his imagination.
Well, these relapses do happen.
Yes, but the strangest thing happened yesterday afternoon. He was trying out a new violinist, Saskia Rubens.
Oh, yes, I've heard of her.
Well, during the tryout... She played a passage the way Jonathan played it when he was alive, and she used the identical fingering that Jonathan, only Jonathan, could use. And my father saw it, heard it.
Hmm. Another little relapse? Huh?
I saw it and heard it, too.
Oh?
Father thinks that Jonathan has returned to him. But using Saskia's body, his spirit and his genius has come back.
And you? What do you think?
Well, I don't know what to think. I've never been so confused. That's why I'm here.
Well, I treated your father's melancholia. Then, when he went on tour, treated you for a milder, much milder... depression. And once you faced the reason for your depression, you snapped out of it. Becky, what was... Tell me again. Put it into words. What was the reason for your depression? Ah, come now, Becky. Say it.
I was glad Jonathan was dead.
Why?
because he always stood between my father and me. That my father loved him more than me. He did. All my life I've wanted my father's love. And when Jonathan died, I thought at last I'd have it. But I haven't. Especially now that he believes.
That he believes Jonathan has returned.
Yes.
And that, Becky, is why you're confused. Unhappy. You've allowed your brain to recreate the ghost we got rid of together, you and I. Becky, Jonathan has not returned. Rubens, this fingering of hers or whatever. She plays that way, that's all. As simple as that.
Oh, you can convince me. But no one will ever convince my father.
Yes, well, someone, if not me, someone else, had better. Because if he doesn't realize what he's come to believe just isn't so.
Yes. If he doesn't.
He'll lose his mind, Becky.
Anton.
Hmm? Oh, yes, Stella?
Come down and have some lunch. All you do is sit here in Jonathan's studio holding his Stradivarius, fondling it, caressing it.
It was his. He loved it. I love it.
Yes, I know, but...
And I've had a thought. Sitting here holding the Strad, it's brought Jonathan closer, helping him to... Communicate. Anton. He gave me the thought.
What thought, Father? Oh, Becky.
At the concert tomorrow night. Saskia Rubens will play this Stradivarius. Jonathan's Stradivarius.
But you said no one must ever play it again. That no other hand but Jonathan's must ever touch it again.
It will be Jonathan's hand that plays it tomorrow.
Anton, my dear.
It will help Jonathan, his spirit, help it to return. Why don't you understand? It's only Saskia's body that sits there, but it's Jonathan who plays. Her hands become his. It will be his hands that hold the Strad. Play it tomorrow night.
No.
Huh?
It will not be Jonathan's hands. It will be Saskia Rubens.
I tell you...
Becky, you're deluding yourself, and worse, you're letting your mind, your emotions get out of control again and play you tricks. And if these tricks go on... You will go mad.
Oh, you sound like Dr. Edmund.
Well, I'm telling you what Dr. Edmund said. I've just come from seeing him.
Seeing Edmunds? You?
Yes. I needed help for a depression of my own.
Oh. Oh, well, I'm glad you went to Edmunds. Oh, why should that upset me? After all, we were all saddened by Jonathan's death.
I was not saddened. I was glad. Becky, oh my God.
You were glad? Glad Jonathan was dead?
Yes. Yes. And I'm sorry I was glad. I'm sorrier than I can tell you, but I couldn't help myself. You've got to understand.
Understand?
Why?
What kind of sister were you to rejoice in her brother's death? What kind of woman are you to be happy at anyone's death? What kind of daughter to take pleasure in my sorrow?
Oh, Father!
Get out! Get out of the studio and never, never, do you hear me? Never set foot in it again.
Father!
Out! Out of the studio! Yes, and out of my life! Why? Why, Mac, must you talk about this now, minutes before I go on?
I know it's not exactly the best moment, but Bakewell asked me to ask you again.
And tell him the answer is no, and it will always be no. The Paganini killed Jonathan.
But, Anton...
Don't you understand why I can't release it? I couldn't bear to hear it.
I'm sorry, Anton. Forgive me.
It's time. You gave Saskia the Strad?
Yes.
And told her why I want her to play tonight?
I did.
And what did she say?
She said...
Oh, yes.
She said, Tell him Saskia Rubens is the virtuoso tonight, not Jonathan Stern.
We'll see. We shall see. Come. Seen him like this.
What do you mean?
I don't know. One minute he's irrational, I guess that's the word. And then the next, what he talked about, maybe he's to blame that Becky felt about Jonathan the way she felt.
Well, he was. To a large extent, he was.
Oscar Rubens can play like that? Oscar Rubens is tonight's virtual.
Mac, what in the world? Why is Anton yelling at Saskia?
Like that. No one but Jonathan Stern.
What's happening to him?
Listen to him. It's not you. Not you. Jonathan is playing.
Good Lord, he's talking to Saskia.
It's Jonathan. This man in your body. Your hands.
Mac, he's gone crazy. Mac, he's out of his mind.
Oh, good Lord.
Jonathan, you come back.
He's swaying back and forth. He's
falling. Yeah, no.
Somebody catch him.
Oh.
Anton!
In a moment of high drama, certainly never before witnessed in a concert hall, Anton Stern crashes across the podium to lie unconscious on the stage floor as the audience and the orchestra sit in shocked astonishment. I'll return shortly for Act 3.
Here's an important message from Buick. Buick wants you to know that a cash rebate of $500 will be given to everyone who takes delivery of a new Buick Skyhawk by Friday, February 28, 1975. And a rebate of $200 will be given to those of you who take delivery of a Buick Skylark or Apollo by February 28th. Buick's cash rebate program is just one of many reasons for buying a free-spirited 1975 Skyhawk, Skylark, or Apollo. So see your Buick dealer.
Many families would like to visit their relatives in the upstate prisons, but they cannot afford it. So a few churches and other organizations got together to provide the buses and lodging so they may visit their relatives upstate.
The God we worship expects us to remember our neighbors and to help them. Join with others at your local church or synagogue and start treating your brothers and sisters like brothers and sisters. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Advertising Council, and this station.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
Unable to face the death of his son, Anton Stern, conductor of the City Symphony, vacillates between reality, when he knows Jonathan to be dead, and fantasy, when only minutes ago he believed Jonathan's spirit had taken possession of violinist Saskia Rubens in the rendition of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. Now, in Anton's dressing room...
Lay him on the couch. Gently, gently, lads.
Thank you, boys. You'll close the door as you go out, will you?
Mark? Mark?
Take it easy, Anton. You're going to be all right.
Oh, what happened? I must have fainted. I don't remember.
Yes?
Tell him,
Becky. Let us in.
How is he? Oh, Anton, what happened out there?
I don't remember. Wait. It comes back to me now.
Yes, Father. What?
Jonathan. It worked.
What worked?
The Strat. Letting Saskia play John's violin tonight. It brought him back from the dead.
Anton, you must stop believing such nonsense.
I tell you, he was there before me on the stage, using Saskia, her body, her hands. The Strad is the link, the bond that holds Jonathan to this world. We can keep in touch, my son and I, through that Strad.
Father, you must...
Don't tell me what to do or not to do, Rebecca. Think I don't know what you're up to?
Up to?
You wish to keep us apart, your brother and I.
No.
Because you were always jealous of him, envious of him.
No.
You told me, admitted you were glad he was dead.
Anton, she never meant
that. She said it. Get her out of here.
Anton.
Out of my sight. Out.
In heaven's name, Anton.
It's all right, Mac. I'd better go. Out of his mind, Mac. He's out of his mind.
Get the Strad from Saskia, Mac.
Just as soon as...
No! Get it now!
You needn't tell me why you're here, Becky. The papers are full of what happened last night.
Yes, but Dr. Edmonds, they say nothing about what went on in my father's dressing room afterward. Nothing about... Jonathan Stradivarius.
Why, no. Tell me.
Well, you know that after Jonathan died, my father put the Strad in its case and closed it and placed it in Jonathan's studio, flanked by vases of flowers, a sort of a shrine.
Yes. And also it was his intention that no one should ever play it again.
Yes, so it came as a shock to us all when he decided to let Rubens play it at last night's concert.
Why did he do a thing like
that? He got it into his head that Jonathan was using Rubens' body to return to Earth.
And if Rubens played Jonathan's favorite violin...
It would doubly ensure Jonathan's return.
He's convinced it did?
Absolutely certain.
What else happened last night, Becky?
Well, he believes that I want to stand between him and Jonathan, that I always was envious and resentful of Jonathan. And,
well, you were.
Well, I know. But you cured me of that. You made me realize it wasn't Jonathan's fame I wanted, but my father's love. And now that I want it more than ever, and want to give him my love to comfort him. He refuses to see me.
He'll change his mind.
I don't think so.
Yes, he will. He loves you, Becky. Loves you every bit as much as he ever loved Jonathan.
Oh, then why hasn't he ever shown it?
Maybe he's never thought he had to. Maybe he's always believed you knew it.
Oh, he's never said.
Exactly. Never said. Never opened his heart in words. That's half the trouble with the world, Becky.
Is it too late for us, my father and me?
It may be. So much depends on how deep he's gone into this psychosis of his.
Psychosis?
He's become fixated on the Stradivarius. Well, there are two ways to cure a fixation. You can either gently pry the patient away from it, a procedure that can take years, or you can risk smashing it.
And in my father's case?
Knowing him as I do, I would be for smashing it. There's risk involved, grave risk, but also calculated risk. The question in my mind is...
Yes?
Are you willing to take that risk?
I?
You. Put it another way, Becky. Do you love your father as much as you think you do? Love him enough
to risk his life and yours.
Anton, put the Stradivarius back on the table. Stop holding it, fondling it, caressing it.
It will bring him back to me. He'll come. I know he'll come.
Anton, dearest Anton, you delude yourself. Jonathan is dead.
There is no such thing as death. You believe in life?
I want to believe. I loved him, miss him as much as you, but I won't. I can't delude myself.
Leave me, Stella. Leave me alone.
Come downstairs. I'll have Olga make tea.
No, I'll stay here.
Anton?
Here.
Thank you, Olga. I'll pour. Mac, you'd rather not have a drink?
Oh, no, Stella. Tea's fine. If we could only persuade him to see Edmund again.
Oh, I tried. It's no use.
I lay it on the line, Stella. This could mean the end of Anton's career.
Don't say that, Mac.
Every penny had to be refunded for the concert the other night. The board of directors called me on the carpet this morning. They know there's something seriously wrong with Anton.
Well, I'm afraid we know that, too.
And then there's Bakewell. Says the recording company will sue if Anton goes on refusing to release Jonathan's last recording.
Oh, Becky.
Mother. Mac?
Oh, boy, get those eyes. Oh, you poor kid. This has really got you down, hasn't it?
But not out, Mac. I've just come from seeing Dr. Edmonds.
Well, why did you go to see Edmonds? What good can he do?
Your mother's right, Becky. Now, don't get me wrong. Edmonds did his best, but it wasn't good enough.
He's upstairs, brooding in Jonathan's room. If he isn't already mad, Becky, he soon will be.
But that's why we've got to do something drastic.
What do you mean, drastic?
Edmund says that Father's become fixated on Jonathan's violin, the Strad, because, in effect, it replaces Jonathan physically. It's all that's left of Jonathan.
Well, I think we're all aware of that.
Yes, well, Edmund says there are two courses open to us. One would be the treatment that would take years and might not be successful. And the other is to take the drastic action that I just mentioned and smash the fixation.
Smash it?
To bits. But if we take the second course, in Edmund's words, it could kill Father and me.
What do you mean?
I mean that if I fail...
You will do this, whatever it is?
I'm the only one who can. If I succeed, Father will be well again, and in another way, in a special way, so will I. But if I fail, he very likely will be driven into hopeless insanity, in which case he'd be better off dead.
And you?
Becky, you... Oh, I'd be better off dead, too.
Played the Tchaikovsky the way Jonathan did. No one ever could. Genius. Sheer genius. Mac, you heard him, and you, Stella.
Anton, eat your dinner. It's getting cold.
Olga, more wine, please.
You're drinking, too.
And even practicing. Why, when he practiced up there in the studio, I would listen for hours on end. Such sweetness of intonation, such delicacy of fingering and bowing, and oh, why, I can hear that now. So clearly, so sweetly, I would almost swear he was in the studio now, practicing this very minute, practicing.
I enjoyed his practice, too. Why, it was a privilege to hear him, Anton. You know, if I shut my eyes, I believe I could almost hear him.
Anton?
I do hear him.
What?
No, listen.
I hear nothing.
I do.
Oh, no, Anton.
I hear him. He's come back. His spirit came back. The studio. He's there now. Jonathan. Jonathan.
Stella.
Jonathan.
Please, God, make it work.
You in your hands, his
violin you dare?
I don't see what's so daring.
You are not to play it, not to touch it. I warned you. It is Jonathan's violin. Jonathan.
Well, seeing that Jonathan's dead.
He's not dead. His spirit lives.
Well, so does mine, and so does my body. He can't play it. I can.
He played it last night.
Oh, Reuben's played it, not Jonathan. Just as I'm playing it now, not Jonathan.
Sacrilege. Give me that.
No, I'll smash it first.
Are you out of your mind?
No, you are. You can think of nothing but Jonathan, always Jonathan, and because of that, you've become fixated on this piece of wood and catgut.
Wood? Catgut?
You think you're the only person in the world who mourns Jonathan. You think you're the only one with feelings. You think Mother didn't die a death with Jonathan. That I didn't. That Mac didn't. Oh, you selfish man, crying and begging for a little thing that was Jonathan, this fiddle.
Give it to me.
All right, very well, I'll give it to you. But first, over my knee.
No.
And then, against the wall.
No. 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 No.
Yes. Take it.
Splinters. Pieces. Becky, Becky.
Becky?
How could you do this? Oh.
Because I love you. And you love me. Oh, Father, I can't bear it, but I must tell you. That look on your face. It isn't the Strad. It's a copy.
No. Not the Strad? Jonathan Strad?
Could I destroy that?
But
oh,
you...
even if I could, there was no need. It wasn't a violin that had to be destroyed. Only what it meant to you. I didn't break a violin. I broke your madness.
Do you know? I think you did. When you smashed it, splintered it inside me, something. I don't know. It smashed and splintered, too.
But it might not have. You might have been smashed and splintered. It was a risk I had to take.
And you took it, Becky. Because you love me.
I've always loved you. Didn't you know that?
Yes. And I love you. Only.
Only what?
Till now, I never knew how much.
They say that when something is broken and mended, it is stronger than ever before. Does that apply to the human heart, do you suppose? I don't know about yours, but my heart's been broken more than once, and I'm still around. Well, my heart may not be stronger, but it's a lot wiser. Yours, too? I'll be back in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box. Speaking of wiser hearts, as we were, Anton Stern's is much wiser.
One thing Anton learned after a long chat with Dr. Edmonds was to tell someone of the love within him. Honestly, we just don't do it enough, none of us. Our cast included Ian Martin, Marion Seldes, Carol Tytel, and Lon Clark. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
I can't understand why you keep asking people to take you away with them, Lucas.
I think you ought to make up your mind to get out of here, Mr. Albertson, not just so as you can take me with you, but for your own good. Maybe they'll still let you go.
Let us go?
Well, damn well let us go if we want to go.
I sure hope so. We could still leave tonight. Better chance to get away after dark than in the daytime.
Now, look, you're going to have to explain that, Lucas. If you want us to take you away with us in case we go, well, you're going to have to tell us what is going on here.
Well, they're all dead, you know. Not me, I don't think. But all the rest of them's dead as dead can be. Been dead for years.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight. CBS News. President Ford is going ahead with his plan to increase taxes on imported oil despite vows by some congressional Democrats to fight it. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president said Wednesday night that on Thursday he will sign a proclamation ordering higher tariffs on imported oil effective February 1st. The increases are part of the president's program designed to reduce the nation's dependence on foreign oil. But some opponents say the plan will only force higher energy prices and hurt many people, especially Northeast residents who depend on oil imports. Chairman Al Ullman of the House Ways and Means Committee predicts that Congress will approve legislation to prevent higher oil tariffs for at least 90 days. More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray? The fastest known form of sinus congestion relief. It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Senator Hubert Humphrey was on the air nationwide Wednesday night to respond to President Ford's speech on the economy. Humphrey said the president's energy proposals would be too expensive for most families.
For a family of four earning, let's say, $15,000, the proposed $220 tax reduction under the Ford plan will fall far short of the estimated $800 more that you will be paying for your gasoline, heating oil, electricity, and natural gas. Not to mention the added cost for transportation, for food, and even clothing. I don't believe your family can afford this extra $580 that the president's plan asks you to pay.
Humphrey also suggested a $20 billion tax cut be started within 30 days. He said that would be large enough to help fight the recession. For almost a month, the capital of Cambodia was nearly cut off from its vital water link to the outside world. Communist-led insurgents kept supply convoys from reaching Phnom Penh with a blockade of the Mekong River. But there are reports a couple of ships carrying ammunition have managed to get through. The U.S. government is concerned about the deteriorating military situation in Cambodia. The administration wants to take action. Robert Pierpoint has a report.
High administration sources say that President Ford is preparing to ask Congress for $220 million in immediate extra military aid to Cambodia. The money would be mainly used to fly ammunition and other military equipment into Phnom Penh. Some 10 civilian aircraft flights per day have been flying U.S. military supplies into Cambodia. But the administration fears this is not enough, and the U.S. Air Force may start helping out with its own airlift. One source told CBS News that Cambodian forces are expected to run out of ammunition by March 1st at current use rates, and if the communists' Mekong blockade is not overcome. But the $200 million appropriated by Congress for Cambodian military aid this year is already virtually gone, which is the reason a $220 million supplemental request is now being prepared here. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
In Toronto early Thursday, police said an escaped convict who took four children hostage 2 days ago released the last hostage. Police said 12-year-old Robert Field was safe and sound, but the gunman is still at large. Robert's two younger brothers and his sister were freed on Wednesday. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
The organization known as the American Society of Girl Watchers now has a female counterpart. It's called Man Watchers, and they've come up with their first list of the top 10 male sex symbols. I didn't make the list, but actor Burt Reynolds did. In fact, he was number one. Reynolds is described as having animal magnetism, masculinity, sense of humor, and great looks from top to bottom. That, according to Susie Mallory, president of Man Watchers. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
A $4 million appropriation has been approved by a unanimous vote in the Senate and sent to the Oregon House. The money is the amount estimated as necessary to operate the legislature till the end of June. When the legislature nears the end of its session and actual costs are known, another bill will be introduced to adjust the amount allocated to the session and provide funds for interim legislative business. The later bill also provides startup funds for the 1977 legislative session. The House also completed action on two bills designed to cut through red tape and enable the state to hire unemployed workers under the federally funded Comprehensive Employment and Training Act. The measure reclassified positions in order to make it easier to hire new personnel. The action coincides with an executive order by Governor Straub to bring all emergency employment programs under his direct control in the executive department. Renewal of a biennial battle has been assured with introduction of a bill that would require fluoridation of community water supplies by 1977. Similar bills have been introduced at every session in recent years, sparking emotion-charged public hearings, and bills have failed to pass. Washington Governor Dan Evans has outlined his energy proposals to a joint session of the legislature. The governor is asking for additional emphasis on the oil production potential of the Puget Sound area and emergency powers for himself. More from correspondent Jeff Adams in Olympia.
Governor Dan Evans has asked members of the 44th legislature meeting in joint session to approve a plan for standby emergency legislation to set up an emergency energy allocation committee of legislators and citizens. The group would advise Governor Evans during energy shortages, but he also wants something more for himself.
I also ask that you more clearly define the authority for gubernatorial action when faced with catastrophic or immediate emergencies where the safety and health of our citizens is threatened and no time is available for committee or special legislative action.
Governor Evans has again called upon legislators to pass a bill establishing a Department of Transportation. This is Jeff Adams at the state capitol.
Secretary of State Clay Myers yesterday presented a comprehensive election reform package to the Senate Committee on Local Government and Elections Committee. Included in his several proposals is a plan for creation of a state elections review commission that would begin work immediately. And the Portland Trail Blazers of the National Basketball Association got a full 38 minutes of playing time out of Bill Walton last night in Detroit's Cobo Hall, but the Pistons got the ball the last 7 seconds on the game clock and the winning basket to hand the Blazers their fourth loss of the season on this six-game road trip. That's the fourth loss of the road trip. More from Bill Shonley now in Detroit.
Better than 9,100 at the Cobo Arena in Detroit, Michigan last night, and the Detroit Pistons, with 7 seconds remaining to be played in the game and an outside shot by Bob Lanier, and they win the game 96-94. But the story of last night's ball game had to be Curtis Rowe with 25 points. He played very well in the third period to spark the Detroit Pistons, but Bill Walton and Bob Lanier, and the better than 9,000 fans cheered them all the way down the line. Bob Lanier played 43 minutes, had 25 points, 10 rebounds. Bill Walton played 38 minutes, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 block shots. Walton, 10 for 13 from the floor, 5 for 7 from the free throw line. The 38 minutes of playing time, the most playing time he's had in a long time. And now he and the rest of his teammates, despite what everything has been said, return home as a team and ready to take on Philadelphia tomorrow night. For KOIN Sports, this is Bill Shonley.
Airtime for that Blazers 76ers game is 7:40 p.m. on KOIN and most Trailblazer radio network stations. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area, occasional light rain through Friday, high temperature near 52, low near 42, winds to the southeast 5 to 15 miles per hour, and the chance of measurable precipitation 50% today and 60% tonight. Currently in downtown Portland, a rather mild 50 degrees, and that's KOIN News at 10 past midnight. This is Alan Archer.